Today we're going to have Matt Hogan share, who's a part of this congregation. I've known Matt for several years, and he is just on fire for God. He's a retired school teacher, but since then he's been attending a seminary and getting some training, and is really, he and his wife Karen have been a blessing here. They teach our kids at least once a month about defending the faith, about why we believe what we believe, and they've been going to different places. God's been opening up doors for them to minister at Loudonville Christian School, for example, and Camp Pinnacle, and other places as well. And so God's really opening up doors for them to go and share, because people are starting to see the need for us not to only know why we believe or what we believe, but also to know why we believe what we believe. Amen? Amen? Because when it comes right down to it, persecution increases and everything, we need to be able to give an answer for the hope that is within us, Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15. And so let's receive what Matt has to say. He's going to share along the line of the resurrection, as you can see. But you know what? Somebody might think, well, it's not Easter time. That doesn't matter. The resurrection is one of the, if not the most important message of the New Testament. Because without the resurrection, there's no salvation. Amen. Amen. Praise God. And so, Matt, thank you. God bless you. I know you'll be a blessing.
Good morning. Abounding Grace. Whew. I'm usually in Sunday school, obviously, so it's exciting to be up here. I do want to thank a couple of people before we get started. Obviously, thank Pastor Jay and Miss Pam. They've been very supportive to my wife Karen and I, and a great blessing, and a faithful pastor. Amen. And I want to thank you for being the body of Christ. Amen. Today, we have the resurrection, we have dessert and shoeboxes. It doesn't get any better than that. But thank you. Thank you for being the body of Christ in this generation. Amen. We're going to talk about the resurrection. That's when the church started. We're still going strong today. Amen. Amen. So I want to encourage you, keep being the body of Christ. Keep being salt and light. Keep on for Jesus. Amen. And finally, I want to thank my dear wife, Karen. Best thing that ever happened to me after Jesus, and she's making me a better me. And last, I want to thank my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, amen, that I received the power of his resurrection, amen. So, as Pastor Jay said, we're retired teachers, and I was a special education teacher. I would get the children nobody wanted, the least of these. Mostly had boys that had learning and behavior challenges, and how to teach them to read. And once we started learning to read, I said, okay, let's learn about main ideas. That's important, you know. Now that you can read the words, we got to have some reading comprehension. So we're going to talk about the main idea of the resurrection today. Everybody ready? All right, it's working. All right, so here's the four topics we're going to cover. Why is the resurrection important? What proof is there for the resurrection? That's a little apologetics. Why did Jesus rise from the dead? And what does the resurrection mean for me today in 2025? All right. My goal today for you is I want to provide some basic instruction on the basic facts of the resurrection. This is a big topic. We're going to do an overview. All right. I want to encourage you today. I want to say be encouraged. All right. I want to encourage you to live in the power of the resurrection. And I want to motivate you to learn more about it. And finally, motivate you to share this with others. Amen? Amen. So that's important. Now, I remember I mentioned that I was a teacher. After I got boys learning to read, I realized I had to teach them vocabulary. One day I had this boy in a friend's class. He was a jolly fellow, and he read a sentence, Sam said on the stump. And I said, do you know what a stump is? Nope. I said, okay, we got to do a vocabulary. So from Noah Webster's 1828 dictionary, resurrection is a noun. That means it's a person, place, or thing. And it's from the Latin word resurrectus or resurgio. Resurgio means to rise. Everyone say to rise. All right. I'm a Sunday school teacher. I believe in participation. All right. Here's another definition of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The return of Christ to bodily life on the earth on the third day after his death. Everyone say bodily. All right. This was a physical resurrection, not just his spirit. The church has always believed it was a physical resurrection. Oh, let me go back there for a second. All right. Now, I know you're thinking, he's treating us like kids. He's got pictures. I'm trying to tap into all the modalities here. There might be a visual learner out there. All right. I've got to be a good teacher and bring all of you together. So I see the art teacher nodding her head. So This is an artist's depiction of Jesus appearing to Mary Magdalene. And this is one of the arguments for the truth of the gospel. At that time, it was a patriarchal society. They did not believe that women could give testimony in court. So why would you start a religion when the first witnesses that saw the Savior rise again be women? Why would you say that? Because it was true. All right? They saw it. Mary Magdalene was there. All right. So let's keep going here. All right. Am I on the right one? Yeah, there we go. So guys, please turn to 1 Corinthians 15 in your Bible. I'm going to have a lot of stuff up here, but we can use our Bibles too. Pastor Jay's always saying that. So 1 Corinthians 15, it was written by the Apostle Paul, and he says, "For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried and he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures." Now, this is the ESV. I like this because it says, of first importance. That's Paul saying, yo, this is the main idea of Christianity. These facts right here are the main idea. All right? Now, he's also saying that he received this information. This is not his own invention. He didn't write it. He didn't develop it. He received this. We're not sure if he received it when he had his vision with Jesus on the road to Damascus, or if he received it from other disciples or the apostles, okay? But this information is from God. This information is from the eyewitnesses, all right? Let's look at the important essence here, all right? We have three critical facts: that Christ died for our sins, number two, that he was buried, and number three, he was raised on the third day. Everyone say facts. Guys, these are facts. This is not opinions. These are not ideas. These are not logical arguments or prepositions or premises. These are facts. Christianity is based on facts. That God created the heavens and the earth. Jesus was born as a child, came into this world, died, and rose again. These are facts. Everyone say facts. Okay. Also, I forgot to read my sidebar there. Okay. The resurrection is the great distinction that sets Christianity apart from other religions. Okay? It's the resurrection. Jesus is alive. Muhammad is dead. Okay? Buddha is dead. Joseph Smith is pushing up daisies. Jesus is alive. Amen? All right. Now, the other important thing is, yeah, you can clap for Jesus. The other important thing is here, all this happened in accordance with the Scriptures. Jesus filled many, many, many prophecies written in the Old Testament a long time before he was born. So we're going to look at three, at our three critical facts. All right. So this is a quote from Isaiah, the famous suffering servant song in Isaiah. And this is in accordance with the Scriptures. "Therefore, I will divide him a portion with the many, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul to death and was numbered with transgressors. Yet he bore the sin of many and makes intercession for the transgressors." Thank God he bore our sin that day. Amen. All right. So he poured out his soul to death. That was the prediction. Isaiah wrote this probably 700 years before Jesus died. And in John, the Gospel of John, we have here, "But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was already dead, they did not break his legs." Now, you know, when a person was crucified, the whole idea was to inhibit their breathing so eventually they would suffocate. This could take a long time. It could take a long time. And they were in a hurry, so they broke the other guy's legs, all right? When they saw that Jesus was dead, they didn't break his leg, but they still stabbed him with a sword or a spear to be sure he was dead. All right, everyone say, in accordance with the Scriptures. All right, now he was buried. Here we are in Isaiah 53 again. "And they made his grave with the wicked and with the rich man in his death, although he had done no violence and there was no deceit in his mouth." Okay? So it prophesied that he would be buried. And in Mark, we have, "And Joseph brought a linen shroud, taking him down, wrapped him in the linen shroud, and laid him in a tomb that had been cut out of the rock. And he rolled a stone against the entrance to the tomb." All right? He didn't know it's only going to be needed for 3 days. Amen? Amen. I could just see Facebook Marketplace used tomb for sale. Okay. In accordance with the scripture in Psalm 16 is the Psalm of David. For you will not leave my soul in Sheol, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. This is a prophecy that Jesus is going to be the Holy One and not suffer corruption, not decay. But also Sheol is the old Hebrew word for the afterlife, okay? When Peter quotes this, I believe on the day of Pentecost, or one of the resurrection sermons in the book of Acts, he says Hades there instead, which was the Greek word, right? So that was the realm of the dead. And then we have a prediction. Jesus predicted himself that he would rise again. Look at this in Mark. And they will mock him and scourge him and spit on him and kill him. And the third day he will rise again. I don't know about you, but if someone says, yep, I'm going to be killed, I'm going to be murdered, but then I'm going to rise again, and he does it, I think I'm going to listen to that guy. All right? Now, the last quote is Jesus talking to the two disciples when they're going for a walk, taking a hike, one of my favorite activities, on the way to Emmaus, and he said to them, it is written, and thus it was necessary for Christ to suffer and to rise from the third day from the dead. Rise from the dead the third day, okay? So he was telling them, yeah, I did it, and this is why it was necessary. All right, we're going to talk more about why it was necessary. Okay, so we've talked about the main idea of Christianity. Everybody got the main idea? All right, now we're going to go, is there proof? Is there eyewitness testimony? So we're going to go back to 1 Corinthians, and let me read some of that to you from the Bible here. 1 Corinthians 15. Okay, so we're going to start with 1 Corinthians 15:5. Now, Paul here is giving a list after he talks about the main idea of the eyewitnesses. And he was seen by Cephas, which was Peter, and then by the 12, in verse 6. Then he was seen by over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remained to the present, but some have fallen asleep. After that, he was seen by James, then all the apostles. Last of all, he was seen by me also as one born out of due time. So Paul is giving us a list here of the eyewitnesses. Okay, you all know if you've ever been on jury duty, all right, the eyewitnesses are very important. So here's the whole list. In verse 15, verse 5, he was seen by Cephas. That was Peter. Isn't it interesting? We all like to talk about how Peter betrayed Jesus, but guess what? Jesus appeared to him individually. Isn't that talk about the grace of God? Amen. And then he was seen by the 12. After that, he was seen by over 500 brethren at once. After that, he was seen by James. Now, this James is the brother of Jesus. Now, I got to tell you guys, I would need a supernatural experience to believe my brother was God, okay? I don't know about you, all right? So Jesus appeared to James, says, yeah, I'm the one, I'm the Messiah. Then by all the apostles, and last of all, he was seen by me also, Paul, on the road to Damascus. That's a typo, that should say Saul, because he wasn't Paul until later on, right? He had that born-again, resurrected experience with Jesus. Okay, more eyewitness testimony, all right? This is from the I Don't Have Enough Atheist book by Frank Turek and Norm Geisler. The New Testament documents that Jesus appeared 12 times to multiple witnesses, all right? Each time he was seen and heard. That's important, all right? Historical fact that supports a bodily resurrection, all right? Four times he ate with them. I always like Jesus. All right. One time he cooked breakfast. He cooked breakfast for the first men's breakfast. Twice he showed his wounds. All right. Everyone say eyewitness. In Acts 1:3, right in the beginning of Acts, we have a summary. Okay. To whom he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many infallible proofs. Say infallible proofs. And being seen by them 40 days and spreading and speaking the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. All right? They knew that people would be skeptical about the story of the resurrection. That's why they recorded infallible proofs. Many, many witnesses. Many witnesses. All right. Now, the infallible proofs of the gospel are very reliable texts. They've been proved to be reliable. All right? But people always say, well, do you have any neutral witnesses or witnesses from non-Christians? Well, when the resurrection happened, let's be honest, nobody was a Christian yet, right? Okay. The disciples were Jews. Okay. All right. So, but we do have several non-Christian sources. All right. We have Josephus, who was a Roman historian writing for Rome. He talked about Jesus. And Tacitus, who was a Roman historian writing about the great scandal of this new myth and new beliefs. And lastly, the Jewish Talmud. Now, there's more witnesses in this. It's interesting. The Jewish Talmud says that Jesus was executed on the eve of Passover for committing sorcery. What would the Jewish Talmud consider sorcery? Maybe giving sight to the blind? Maybe miracles? Maybe rising someone, Lazarus, from the dead? Sounds like, yeah, sounds like more proof for Jesus being who he said he was, the Son of God. Amen. All right, we have the evidence of the empty tomb. Now I'm going to flip over and read you some from Matthew 28. If you want to look over there with me, we'll talk about the empty tomb for a moment. And let me find my spot here. Okay, yes, I'm going to start in, verse 11. I've got it there on the PowerPoint. Okay, now, while they were going, so this was after Mary Magdalene and the other women saw Jesus. They're running to tell the boys. We're back in the locked room. And while they were going, behold, some of the guard came into the city and reported to the chief priests all the things that had happened. Earlier in Matthew, he records that an angel came down from heaven and rolled the stone away. Before that, we have the high priest going to Pontius Pilate and saying, hey, you know, there's a rumor. Can you put a guard up? So they seal the stone and put up the guard. So now the guard runs to the high priest. And when they assembled with the elders and consulted together, they gave a large sum of money to the soldiers, saying, tell them, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept. Now, if this comes to the governor's ears, we will appease him and make you secure. So they took the money and did as they were instructed. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews to this day. Are there some holes in this story? Yeah, there's a lot of holes in the story. If they're asleep, how do they know the disciples stole the body? Okay? There was a big stone there and it was sealed. They never heard it get rolled away. They never heard somebody cut the seal. Okay? How do they know someone else didn't steal it? Plus, if word gets out that they fell asleep on duty, that was capital punishment in the Roman army. The Roman army wasn't the best army of all time for no reason, right? Very strict discipline. So this story has a lot of holes. Isn't it interesting, too? Two things are interesting to me. The chief priests heard testimony that an angel rolled away the stone, and they still didn't repent. Oh, let's not have hard hearts today. And secondly, they thought they had a deal. Oh, we paid them. We got them paid off with 30 pieces of silver. Now we're set. Now they have to pay a whole lot more money for a lie. Look what happens when you start to deceive. Amen? Wasn't that a saying, oh, what a web we weave when we start to deceive? All right. So also for evidence for eyewitnesses, we have the testimony of the transformed disciples. Everyone say before and after. All right. So before the disciples understood the resurrection and what was really happening, they were pretty afraid for good reason. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst of them and said, peace be with you. All right, they needed peace for two reasons. They thought he was a ghost, and then they were afraid that they were next. All right, when there was a suspicion of rebellion in those days, the Romans took out the leader and all the followers. So they were hiding for a very good reason. They thought they were next for another crucifixion. Okay? So Jesus appears to them. He doesn't rebuke them. The first thing he says was, peace be with you. More grace. Everyone say after. Now, later on, in one of their first preaching events, this is after, in Acts 4, this is after Peter and John healed the lame man at the gate, and they're starting to have revival in the temple. Excuse me. Now, when they means the Sadducees and the priests, they're having a trial. Put these guys on trial for healing a man. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled and they realized they had been with Jesus. Amen. Been with them before the resurrection and after the resurrection. Amen. People will know when we've been with Jesus. Amen. So before the resurrection, they were afraid. After the resurrection, they were bold. Proof that it happened. Amen. All right. So, why did Jesus rise again from the dead? This is an important part. Everyone say, this is for me. All right. This is important. All right. This is one of my favorites. I always tell the Sunday school kid I have a lot of favorite verses. This is one of them. All right. 1 Peter 1:3. Blessed be the God and Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, according to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Everyone say, living hope. Oh, that's what the apostles realized. They have a living hope. They became bold. Ladies and gentlemen, every day before you get out of bed, you think about, oh, here's my list of things to do today. Oh, look at the weather. Oh, I got to get the kids on the bus. Oh, I've got all these things on my to-do list. Realize we have a living hope. No matter what you're going through on a daily basis, or you're going through a hard circumstance, you're at the funeral for a loved one, and your loved one is in the casket, we have a living hope that Jesus Christ has risen from the dead, and we can be born again. Everyone say, living hope. This is what makes Christianity so great. We have a living hope no matter what happens. Amen. He is risen. All right? Hallelujah. Okay. Second, in the resurrection, Jesus validated his claim that he was the Son of God. All right? Now, before he rose Lazarus from the grave, he said this to his sisters. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. And he who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. It's easy for anybody to say that, right? But then he did it. They rolled away the stone, and he said, Lazarus, come forth, and he was risen from the dead. He proved it. Everyone say, proof. All right, he validated his claim as the Son of God. All right, why did Jesus rise again from the dead? There's some more reasons. Back in 1 Corinthians 15, the sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. You guys have the victory too, amen? Amen. I mentioned that before. There is a sting of death in sin. Everyone remember that there is a connection between sin and death, right? God's plan started in a garden, right, where there was no death. But as soon as Adam and Eve ate the fruit, sin came into the picture, followed by death. It's a package deal, okay? But when Jesus rose again from the dead, the power of sin is broken and the power of death is broken. Amen? Another package deal, okay? All right. So, death, where is your victory? Death, where is your sting? Amen? All right. Why did Jesus rise again from the dead? All right. Now, again, this is when Jesus was talking to the two guys when they were on the hike to Emmaus, all right? He said to them, thus it is written, he's summarizing why he did this, that thus it was necessary for Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. That, now this is why, that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem, all right? All nations includes Schenectady. Aren't you glad about that? Amen? So, remission of sins. What is remission of sins? Some of you are probably thinking like, well, I know someone who's in remission from cancer, right? That means the power of cancer is going away. But theologically and legally, a remission of sins, your sins are taken away. Right? They're taken away. So it's like there is no after effect, just like you haven't sinned at all. That's what Jesus is doing when he rose again from the dead. He's breaking the power of sin and taking our sins away, making us look like and be like and are that our sins have never happened and never have any effect on us, okay? He can't remember, okay? When I was a teacher, I used to do some read aloud with my children, my students. I would get to a certain point, the exciting part of the story, and they're all excited. I said, okay, time to write in the journals. They're like, oh, Mr. Hogan, what? Can't you tell us what's going to happen? I said, I forgot. They're like, what do you mean you forgot? Okay, God forgot your sins, okay? You've been remitted. Remission. I would say remission. All right. Okay. So, we're moving along here. What does the resurrection mean for me today? I've got to tell you a quick story. Let me take a quick drink. Long time ago, when I was in high school, they had Regents exams. Anybody go to high school in New York? Did anybody have to take a Regents exam? Okay. So, when I was in high school a long time ago, had an American history teacher, Mr. Mitterer. and this is in the mid-70s, Mr. Mitterer wore the flamboyant clothes of the mid-70s, right, because color TV was out, and he loved America, and he just loved to teach, and he would always say once in a while, guys, this is important, listen, this is going to be on the Reach. You got to know this, it's going to be on the Reach. So guys, what we're going to talk about now is for you. This is important for your daily life. This is important for the tests that you're going to face. Amen? All right. Everyone say, I'm listening. All right. Here we go. What does resurrection mean for me today? So that we too might walk in the newness of life. Could you guys please turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 6? I should have told the story, or told you flip there before I told the story. So I really like this passage in Romans 6 when it talks about the power of the resurrection for us today. So I wanted to read that with you. How are you guys doing? Everybody there? All right, here we go. Romans 6. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried therefore with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. So, obviously, we weren't physically crucified with Jesus on the cross, but we believe in the ritual of baptism. When we go under the water and come up out of the water, we have spiritually died with him and rise again. Amen? Now, the problem with a lot of progressive Christians out there today is, first of all, they don't believe in the resurrection. Okay, and the problem with that is if you don't believe in the resurrection, you can't receive the power of the resurrection. Amen? Amen? So we were buried with him into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. That means we can change. This is one of the big differences between religions and Christianity. All other religions, pick a name out of a hat, you have to do good to get good. It's works, right? You do good, you earn good. You do bad, you get bad. Christianity has the newness of life. We can do bad and receive God's good. We don't work, we receive. Everyone say receive. Okay? We sang it today. We believe for it. We sang about the power today. You heard it. Amen? I just got blown away in worship, and that was a great worship today, guys. Praise the Lord. All right, everyone say newness of life. Guys, this is where we're at every day. We can walk in the newness of life because of the power of the resurrection. Jesus didn't suffer terribly on the cross for us to stay in sin. Amen? He died and suffered and rose again so we can be free of sin and walk in newness of life. All right, let's keep going. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. Amen. For the one who has been died has been set free from sin. Now, if we have died in Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Amen. Remember we talked about before that living hope. Here it is again. Okay? Our old self was crucified with him. We can change. All right? When we're born again, we're born on the inside. Our spirit comes alive. That's our new man. We have a new self. Everyone say, I'm new. I'm new. All right? All right, now last passage in Romans. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin once for all, but the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Amen? Everyone say, in Christ Jesus. All right, guys, we have the ability to say no to sin. All right? It's not our power, it's his power. It's his ability working through us. We just receive it. All right? I got another picture for you. All right? I love this picture. That ball's not going to hit her in the head. She's going to catch it. Okay? What I'm trying to get you guys to see, we have the power of direction that we receive when we're born again so we can say no to sin. I'm not about that anymore. I don't do that anymore. I remember I was a young man when I got saved and I saw someone, well, I'm not seeing you out going out anymore. Yeah, I'm not about that anymore. Amen? We can say that. I'm not about that anymore. I'm walking in the newness of life. Everyone say newness of life. All right. What does the resurrection mean for me today? Here we go. Back in 1 Corinthians. All right. But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. Everyone say alive. Guys, I think you know, this good preacher here, that Christ is the second Adam, okay? Adam failed the test. Jesus passed the test. Amen? Adam and Eve said yes to the fruit. Jesus said no when he got tempted by Satan. Amen? So in Adam we all died. In Christ we're all made alive. Amen? This is amazing stuff. This is the power of the resurrection for us today, that we can be alive in Christ. Amen? All right. Now, here's a couple more verses. I like this one. I was thinking that maybe when Saul was walking to Damascus to arrest the Christians, he saw that sign on the highway. But I'm just teasing. All right. So, I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Amen? When the Israelites were delivered from slavery, all right, they were in the desert, they built a tabernacle for the dwelling place of God. After the power of the resurrection, we are the tabernacles. Christ lives in us. That's a great mystery, that the Savior of the world can live in us with the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Christ lives in us. Also, the power of this new life with religion. Religion is kind of like, you have to. You have to go to church. You have to read the Bible. You have to be nice to people. It's a have to. Okay? We don't have a have to. We have an I want to go to church. I want to read my Bible. I want to help people. That's why that room is full of shoeboxes. We want to. Amen? Say, power of resurrection. All right. So here's Paul in Ephesians as well, talking about putting on the new self. Amen? And to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Now, we saw the cheating Pharisees. They had a false righteousness and a false holiness. But we can have a new righteousness and a new holiness. And you know what, guys? It doesn't go by your feelings. Right? Feelings is in today. Oh, I don't feel like it. I don't feel like it. It doesn't matter if you don't feel like it. Jesus still rose again from the dead. Amen? And you're still an overcomer whether you feel like it or not. All right? So don't feel like it. Just do it. Wouldn't that make a nice commercial for our sneaker? All right. All right. So, here we go. You ready for the summary? All right. So, why is the resurrection important? The resurrection is the hallmark of the Christian faith. That what makes us special. Okay? All right. In the resurrection, Jesus fulfilled prophecies in Scripture. All right? Those prophecies are amazing. If you can, come out on Thursday night. Pastor Jay is teaching the whole Old Testament points to Jesus. All right? Jesus, in the resurrection, he proved that he is the Son of God, the Messiah. You got to hit the right button. All right. What proof is there for the resurrection? All right. The records of the gospel are accurate eyewitness accounts. All right. They parallel each other. They're accurate. They haven't been disproved. We have the testimony of hostile witnesses. If you're in a courtroom and the witnesses from the other team agree with you, their side's in trouble. All right. We have the boldness of the transformed disciples. We also have the empty tomb, which I couldn't fit on the slide PowerPoint. Well, we have the empty tomb. All right. Why did Jesus rise again from the dead? This is important for us today. All right. So we can be born again to a living hope. All right. With our repentance, we can receive the remission of sins. Keep going, guys. Get your hands out there. Pretend you're going to catch that kickball. Come on. We're going to receive it. We're going to receive it. All right? Okay. And he rose again to destroy the power of death and sin and to assure our own resurrection. That on that day, we are going to heaven. Amen? Amen. All right. Okay. Our third point here. What does direction mean for me today? All right. I can walk in the newness of life and the power of the resurrection. That is for us today. That's the reality of Christianity. It's not just for the leaders. It's not for the pastors. It's for everybody. It's even for the kids. They too can walk in the power of the resurrection. They too can receive and walk in the newness of life. All right. I can be dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. We can say, thanks, but no thanks, when sin comes knocking at the door. Amen? Amen. I could put on the new self in true righteousness and holiness. All right? It's not being arrogant. It's being humble. Amen? And also remember, the power of the resurrection is not power to give wealth. It's power to be changed on the inside. Amen? The Pharisees and the Sadducees, they had a corrupt power that was into greed and power. We don't receive that as Christians. We receive the power to change, the power to help, the power to lead, the power to share the gospel. Amen? All right. So, since we have this power of the resurrection and we could walk in newness of life, we can always be abounding. All right? 1 Corinthians 15:58 again. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Amen? Amen. All right? What we do matters. The world needs the church more than ever before. Amen? And the local church is the only hope for America and any other country in the world, right? It's the local church. So join the team. All right. So, application. What do I do with the resurrection? Well, get your hands out, receive it. If you haven't been born again, you're going to have a chance in a few minutes. Okay? All right? And being born again means, you know, I know I need a Savior. I know I made some mistakes. Who told? All right? And then you can be born again and accept Jesus as your Savior. Amen? Tell people about Jesus. So how come you don't laugh at the dirty jokes at work? Why don't you tell dirty jokes at work? Well, I'll tell you. I'm walking in the newness of life. Amen? Jesus is my Savior. All right? Renew our most important job after we receive the resurrection and the newness of life is to renew our mind. We got to change our thinking. And this is easy for us to understand. We're always trying to update these things with new downloads, okay? We need to download His Word into our mind and change the way we think. That's how we can really walk in the newness of life and walk in that new self that we talked about. All right? Everyone say connect. Connect. Guys, connect to your local church. If this one doesn't fit, you know, you got to get the right shoe size when you buy new shoes. If this church doesn't fit for you, find one that fits. Okay? There's good churches out there. We're not the only game in town. But be in the body of Christ. It makes a difference in the world. It'll make a difference in your life. I always tell people, Christianity is a team sport. Get on a team. Muslims can be by themselves. Secular people can be by themselves. Christians need to be with each other. Amen? Amen. Oops, hit the right button. Okay. This phrase is in all three of the Gospels here, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Guys, this is my favoritest phrase in the Bible. Amen. This was the most important sentence ever spoken in any language. It's only three words. I'm a reading teacher geek. Four syllables. Okay. He is risen. Everyone say it with me. He is risen. Amen. All right. Thank you, guys. Walk in the newness of life.
Amen. Thank you, Matt. Hallelujah. Well, did you get that? Amen. Praise God. We appreciate so much the Word of God. And the only thing I disagree with is, yeah, there's a lot of good churches, but this is a great church. I'm a little biased. But anyway... praise God. Would you stand with me? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's just stay in a reverential attitude toward the Lord right now. And after hearing this, and of course, never do we want to end a service without giving an opportunity to make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. And so, you know, the Bible says that we've all sinned, we've all fallen short of the glory of God, which means we all need forgiveness. We need to receive Christ as our Lord and Savior. And the Bible also says that today is the day of salvation, really telling us that tomorrow could be too late because you could breathe your last breath. Your heart could stop beating. And once you leave this life, there's no other opportunity. This is the time. This is the period. When you're living this life, you have to make a decision. And that decision is to either accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior or to reject Him as your Lord and Savior. And so with a reverential attitude, just believers praying right now, if you're here today and you're not absolutely sure that if you were to die, that if you were to leave this life, that you would be in the presence of God, that you are forgiven of your sins, you can be sure. John's epistle said that I've written these things to you so that you might know you have eternal life. How do we know? Because we can't earn it. We receive that gift of eternal life by putting faith in the grace of Almighty God. So if you're here today, lest there even be one here today, you've never received Christ, I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to make you come up here. But we're going to all pray together. And so again, if you're here and you've never received Christ, I want to encourage you to lift your hand up high so I can see it. But more important than anything else, the Lord can see it. And we're all going to pray this prayer together. And if you mean it with all your heart, the Bible says that you will become a new person on the inside. You may not look any different on the outside, but inwardly, you become a new creation, the Bible says. And so lest there be even one here today, don't leave this place without receiving Him if you've not yet received Him. Because again, you could die today. Your life could be shortened today. No matter how young you are, people die young every day. And so, lest there be one today, anybody at all, you know you need to receive Christ as your Lord and Savior. Anybody at all? All right, I'm not seeing any hands. Maybe you're here today and you've been away from God, even though at one point you accepted Christ, but you have gone astray. You've been like that prodigal son or that prodigal daughter. You've done what is called sometimes in Scripture, you've backslid away from God, and yet you want to recommit your life to Christ. And you might have dabbled in the world after receiving Christ, and you found out it's empty. It's empty. Without Christ, your life is empty. And so lest there be anybody, maybe you're backslid, you accepted Him at one time. If that's you, could you just lift your hand so I can see it? Anybody at all? I see one hand. Anybody else, you got enough guts to say, I need to recommit to Christ today? Anybody else? All right, we're all going to pray this prayer together if you believe it. And let's support any others that need to be praying it. Let's pray it together. God in heaven, I thank You that Jesus Christ loved me so much that He laid down His life, His sinless life, so that I could be forgiven of my sinful life. And so today, I confess Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And I believe with all my heart that He did not only die, but He is risen. Risen from the dead. And in His death, He conquered over sin. And in His resurrection, He conquered over death. Sin and death have been defeated. So Jesus, come into my life. I receive You now, and from this day forward, with Your help, I will live for You. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's give Him thanks, shall we? Hallelujah. Thank You, Lord. Praise You, Jesus. Praise You, Lord God. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
We hope that you enjoyed this message and that you were truly blessed by it. If you would like to support the ministry of Abounding Grace Christian Church, there are three ways to give. If you'd like to give online, go to our website, agcc.church, and look for the green tab on the top that says Give Online. You can also text to give by texting the amount to 518-670-4334 or download the My Church website giving app. Find our church by searching our zip code 12303, then create an account. No gift is too small, and we really appreciate all that you give. God bless you.